Scripture reading this morning will be from Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 4. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, the first 8 verses. First Timothy 4, beginning at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come.
Lucifer, long before the creation of this world, coveted the glory that belonged to God, the authority that belonged to the throne of God, the power that was exercised by the Creator. And in order to take this glory to himself and to exercise this authority, it was necessary for him to lead astray created beings. For when God desired to rule over creation, God created. But when Lucifer desired to rule over a kingdom, he could not create those who would be subject to him. He had to lead astray those whom God had created, that these creatures should follow him. Lucifer desired to exercise God's authority in the angelic realm, and he led after him an innumerable host of angels who left their first estate, abandoned their obedience to and dependence upon God, and looked to Satan as their king and as their authority. In order to extend his rule in the realm of this creation, it was necessary for Satan to lead after him the creature. For he could not create man, a fallen rebel, and enlist man's obedience to himself. It was necessary for him to pervert and to turn the creature away from God to himself. And as a result of Satan's activity, he usurped authority in a portion of the angelic realm, and he usurped authority temporarily in this earthly realm, so that he has become the prince of the power of the air. He has become the god of this world. We want to carry our subject a step further this morning as we consider with you the subject Satan the deceiver. For Satan cannot operate in the realm of truth. He has to operate in the realm of a denial of the truth or in the realm of a lie. It was impossible for Lucifer to persuade the angelic hosts to follow him by telling them the truth that if they followed him, they would end up with him in the lake of fire, separated from the Creator forever. When Satan came to tempt Eve, it was not possible for him to tell Eve that if she obeyed him rather than obeyed God, she would join him and the fallen angels in the lake of fire forever. He had to lie. That is why when our Lord was in conflict with the Pharisees in John chapter 8, who were rejecting the truth that Christ presented to them, Christ said in verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." Christ is saying that these Pharisees are following a satanic plan and program, that they are thinking just as Satan wants them to think. Our Lord is conscious of the fact that the Pharisees are rejecting the truth that he is teaching them, and they are planning to put him to death. And therefore, they are reproducing in their attitude toward him the thinking of the one whom he calls your father, the devil. And then he cites two of the characteristics of Satan that they are at that time reproducing, for he goes on to say, Satan was a murderer from the beginning, and you are planning to murder me. And then he says in the second place, Satan abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so our Lord is saying to these religious leaders that when they hear his truth, his revelation of the things of God, and they reject that truth which he presents to them, they are following the nature and the character of their father, the devil, for he is not only a murderer, but he is a liar and has been a liar from the beginning. In the book of the Revelation, in chapter 12 and verse 9, John introduces Satan to us and speaks of the work that he will perform in the tribulation period to defeat the purpose and the program of God. And then in the 9th verse of that chapter, John refers to the one whom he has pictured through the symbol of the great dragon. And he says that dragon was called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He deceived the whole world. And Lucifer began his deception by deceiving angels into following him and his first rebellion against God. And he deceived Eve into following him in her rebellion against God. And as a consequence, his deception has settled upon the minds and the hearts of all of Adam's descendants, so that the whole world today is deceived. John has in mind that which is recorded for us in the 3rd chapter of the book of Genesis, to which we have looked before in this series of studies. You'll recall that it was there in the Garden of Eden that Satan appropriated the body of one of the most beautiful of God's animal creatures, and he approached Eve and questioned her knowledge of the revelation of God. Has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And when he discovered that Eve knew what God had told and what God had revealed, he lied to Eve. He said to her, verse 4, ye shall not surely die. Now that was a categorical denial of what God had said, because when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he put a boundary around the tree of knowledge and of good and evil and said, ye shall not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. The death to which he referred was the separation of the creature from the creator, the separation of the soul from God. And physical death was pronounced as a result of that spiritual death, the separation of the soul from God. And God, who is truth, had said, ye shall die. And Lucifer was bold enough as the father of lies to approach Eve with this categorical denial and say, God lied, you shall not die. And Eve is now confronted with a decision. It is a decision as to which one she will believe. For when you have two exact opposites, both cannot be right. God could not be true and Lucifer true at the same time. And it was necessary for Eve to debate the issue as to which one lied. Did God lie when he said, you shall die? Or did Lucifer lie when he said, you shall not die? And it was Eve's conclusion that God was the liar. Now that sounds so blasphemous, we ought not even to speak it. But that was Eve's decision. God is the liar, and Satan is the true one. And because she believed the lie of Satan and counted God a liar, she disobeyed God and partook of that forbidden fruit, and she found out immediately that Lucifer, Satan, was the liar and God was true. Because no sooner had she partaken of that fruit than she desired to bring her husband into her fallen estate. And then together they recognized that God was true and Satan was the liar, because they tried to cover up their nakedness in the sight of God by putting together fig leaves for a covering. And the fact that they attempted to fabricate a covering for their nakedness before God was evidence that they recognized that Satan was the liar and God was true, and that they are now under condemnation because the word of God standeth sure. When we turn into the New Testament, we have the Apostle Paul's comment on this incident, for in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 2 and verse 14, as he speaks of the original sin of Eve, Paul says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And Paul traces the sin of Eve to its ultimate source. She responded to a deception by the deceiver, or she responded to a lie by the liar. And this is the characterization which the Word of God gives to us of Satan. And it gives us the first principle by which Satan operates. And I want to emphasize this aspect of the truth this morning. For until we realize that Satan cannot, under any circumstances, operate in the realm of truth, but must always operate in the realm of a lie, we will not be prepared for his manifestations, for the avenues of temptation which he presents to us. Now the Word of God is very specific concerning some of the lies of Satan. Now, I want you to turn with me, first of all, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. For here the Apostle emphasizes the first area in which Satan lies. That is the area of the Word of God. Paul's authority is being questioned in the Corinthian church, for there were those who despised his doctrine, but they could not deny the truth of his doctrine. Therefore, their method was to undermine the authority of the one who taught them the doctrine. And the method used in Corinth was to deny that the Apostle Paul came to them with divine authority, with apostolic authority, and consequently with a message from God. They said he comes with a message which he has devised himself. And in order to handle this objection, the apostle says in chapter 4 and verse 1, "Therefore see, we have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." Will you notice first of all that phrase? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Or to paraphrase it, Paul says, we have had no part in preaching and teaching a lie. Not walking in craftiness. And craftiness suggests a hypocrisy so that things do not appear as they actually are. That is living a lie. And then next he says, we are not those who handle the word of God deceitfully. We have not lied when we presented to you the truth of God. Now you see, the apostle is putting himself in contrast to these false teachers who have come in to deny the simple gospel that a man is saved by faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. And these false teachers had come in with their false doctrine. In order to promulgate their false doctrine, they had said Paul is a liar. And he lives a lie because he doesn't believe what he preaches. He claims that that message has come from God, but it's something he has thought up in his own philosophy. We're giving you the truth. And Paul says, I was no liar, and I was not dishonest, and I did not handle the word of God deceitfully, but I declared it unto you as it is, by a manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, if Satan will hold the minds and hearts of men captive to his lie, it is necessary for him, first of all, to blind men to the truth as it is revealed in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is God's revelation given to us of himself. And all that it is necessary for us to know, and all that it is necessary for us to know concerning God is revealed to us here in the Word of God. God has shut up and enclosed His revelation in the confines of this book that is given to us by inspiration of God. Since this is God's truth, and since men are shut up to this book to know God's truth, then Satan must deceive men concerning the truth that is in the Word of God. And if you were to study the history of doctrines from the time that God gave this Word to men to the present day, you would find that the satanic attack against God is leveled first of all as an attack against the integrity, the authority, and the divine inspiration of the Scriptures. And I do not have to tell you that countless men will stand up in pulpits today that they call the sacred desk. They will open a beautifully bound copy of what they call the Holy Bible, will ignore its truths, and will pervert the sacred desk into a satanic desk, and will publicly repudiate the revelation of the Word of God and call themselves men of God as they are doing it. You know that the Word of God, its integrity, its inerrancy, its authority is being attacked without apology in universities, in colleges, in high schools, in grade schools, right down the line. Men are being conditioned to openly repudiate the Word of God. That is why it seems so significant that the speaker at our banquet last Friday night, Dr. John Montgomery, should call to our attention that it is our privilege and responsibility as Christian parents to instill into our children before they come to school age a respect for the Word of God, so that when they move into these areas where teachers will repudiate the truth of God, they have been preconditioned to accept the authority of the Word of God before they met that satanic attack. And it seems as though Satan has so conquered and controlled the thinking of this world, the learned, the wise, the educated, and the educators of this world, that only a small minority were so often looked down upon as being outmoded and outdated and out of step, are blaspheming the Word of God and the authority of Scriptures. But that is a part of the satanic purpose and the satanic program, to publicly promulgate the lie that this is not the Word of God, this is not authoritative, it is full of errors, it is a collection of human myths, it is to be studied only as a curiosity of what men at one time thought about God, but it has no relevancy or relationship to our life today whatsoever. We stand in this church, and I stand unequivocally for the absolute inerrancy and authority of the Word of God. We believe that what God has written was written under the influence and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and is our rule and guide for faith and practice, and any departure from that doctrine of the Word of God is to fall into the lie of the devil. And God deliver us from being subject to that deception that denies the authority of the Word of God. But then I want you to turn with me in the second place to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we find another attack. I want 1 Timothy 4. And we're moving into a second area here, which Satan attacks and denies and propagates a lie, and that is in the area of the person and work of Jesus Christ. The doctrines concerning God, the person and work of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy verse 1, the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Or to paraphrase that, to make it clear, they shall give heed to spirits or teachers who will seduce men away from the truth and to the doctrines that are propagated by the devil. The apostle is anticipating just such a situation in which we find ourselves, that Satan will dominate and control in the religious realm, so that what is mouthed in the name of Christianity bears no resemblance to biblical Christianity whatsoever. And that what is taught in Sunday schools and from pulpits in the name of God subtly and satanically denies the truth of the Word of God concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now Paul says, I want to warn you that there will come these teachers who will follow Satan's method of lying and seducing, just as Eve was seduced. And that Satan will be the one who is behind this kind of doctrine. You probably thought that when Satan came to a church and he saw the front door, he stopped and said, this is no place for me. Oh, how deceived. For Satan has moved in and has planted his standards and has moved into the pulpit and taken over the control of the preaching and the ministry subtly, cleverly, but certainly, so that the truth of God is denied, blasphemed, and ridiculed. The Apostle John was anticipating this same thing, for in 1 John chapter 2, in verses 21 and 22, John said, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now you will notice John has become very specific as to who is the liar. And the liar here is one who denies that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That is, the one who has come in the plan of God to reign and to redeem. The same truth is taught in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1, where John says, "Believe not every spirit," that is, every teacher, "who claims to come in the name of God, but you try the spirits, you test the spirits, whether they are of God. And the test of any teacher who claims to be a man of God is to test him by the Word of God, which is God's measuring stick. You try the teachers whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come." John says a man's teaching concerning the person and work of Christ must conform to the Word of God. And if he makes Jesus Christ any less than the absolute Son of God come in the flesh, he is of the devil, and he is propagating lies. He has fallen for the deceit of Satan and is an instrument to deceive you as well. Now, Satan is seeking to reproduce his character in his children. And it is God's purpose, as you so well know, to reproduce his character in his children. So here are two. The one who claims to be the God of this world, who wants to reproduce himself in God's children. And every time Satan reproduces himself in you, it will be by a lie. On the other hand, God seeks to reproduce his Son, Jesus Christ, in you as his child. And every time God reproduces himself in you, it will be through the truth. And in order to make this very clear, we observe through the New Testament that in the practical exhortations which the apostle gives to believers, these apostles have a great deal to say about the tongue. Why? Because the tongue is the instrument through which we so often give place to the devil. To put it bluntly, we lie. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, the apostle writes and says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." What's a corrupt communication? It's a lie. And so Paul says, in effect, stop lying. You liars, don't reproduce your father the devil. Or look in Colossians, in chapter 4 and verse 6. We find the same thing again. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." In Ephesians he says, don't lie. In Colossians chapter 4 he says, tell the truth. Now this seems so commonplace it scarcely needs to be emphasized. But may I suggest to you that if Satan is going to reproduce himself in your life, he will begin in the most insignificant ways to start a pattern of deceiving and deception in you that he can build on. And that propensity to stretch the truth, to which we are all heir, is a satanic attack to lay a foundation to bring us into open and outright repudiation of the truth of God. What fisherman isn't tempted to add a few inches to the length of the fish he caught? Or the golfer to slice a few strokes off his score? Did you ever stop to think that that is Satan trying to reproduce himself in you and make you a liar? How often we've gone to the telephone to call up some friend and we've said, "Now guess what I heard." Now, understand, I don't believe it, but... And then we pass on some gossip. We're lying. And Satan's character is being reproduced in us, and he is laying a foundation to destroy the entire citadel. By nature, we're all braggarts. We like to impress people as to how much we know or how much we've done or what our accomplishments are. And we're never content to tell the truth. We've got to enlarge it and expand it and stretch it a little bit. We like to live a lie to impress people that our income is a little bit more than it actually is. That's the devil making you into his child, making a liar out of you. Telephone to call up some friend and we've said, "Now guess what I heard." Now, understand, I don't believe it, but... And then we pass on some gossip. We're lying. And Satan's character is being reproduced in us, and he is laying a foundation to destroy the entire citadel. By nature, we're all braggarts. We like to impress people as to how much we know or how much we've done or what our accomplishments are. And we're never content to tell the truth. We've got to enlarge it and expand it and stretch it a little bit. We like to live a lie to impress people that our income is a little bit more than it actually is. That's the devil making you into his child, making a liar out of you. How often we conduct ourselves so that our word cannot be trusted. "You can count on me, Pastor. I'll be there at that time," and wait 5 and 10 minutes and never show up. No word of explanation, no call to explain a delay or an absence, just not show up. That's lying. And you're reproducing your father, the devil. How often we've lied in our praying. Somebody's come to us and said, "I have such and such a need. Will you remember me in prayer?" "Of course I'll remember you in prayer." And it was a downright lie because you had no intention of remembering them. If you had, you'd made a note of it so you could look at it and recall to mind what the person had asked you to pray for. We lie. And woven into the whole fabric of our life is this temptation to deception, this hypocrisy in which we fall for the evil one. And what he did to Eve, he is doing in us day after day after day. You think of the last excuse you gave to somebody on the telephone who wanted you to do something that you didn't want to do. Now, that excuse you gave to get out of it, was that the truth, or were you making something up so that you'd get them off your back? Well, the devil's doing with you what he did to you. Think in this matter of being punctual. Falls into this classification because we have an appointment to meet with somebody at a certain time, or we have an appointment to meet with God at a certain time, and we haven't left home until after time for the appointment with the individual or with God at the time for service. That comes awfully close to coming under this same thing. In such a little thing as that, Satan is bringing us into his path of deceit, of prevarication, of lying. And when Satan gets his foot in the door, he can kick it open. And first thing you know, the whole life is given over to him. Why? Because Satan is a deceiver. And Satan perhaps cannot take the truth of the Word of God away from you. And he cannot take the truth of the person and work of God away from you. But he can open up some chink in your armor. He can open up the citadel of your life by this laxity about the tongue and prevarication and lying, so that we might just as well have denied the faith. There's another fact that Satan wants to deny, and that is the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And there will be myriads of men who call themselves ministers of the gospel who will stand up today and preach a lie and tell men they don't have to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. There are other ways. Mary Baker Patterson Glover Eddy had another way. Joseph Smith had another way. Madame Blavatsky had another way. You go on with all the false cults and isms that are abroad in the land. They all had their false ways. Denials of Satan, lies of Satan to deceive men concerning the fact that salvation is in Jesus Christ. But there are those that would look down upon these false unchristian sects and call themselves Christians because they belong to some reputable organization, but deny that salvation is by grace through faith. Deny the fact that a sinner is separated from God and under judgment. And that is a lie of the devil. And as a minister of the gospel, I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation is by faith in Him. Apart from Him, there is no salvation. But by accepting God's gift, there is total, complete salvation. That is the truth of God and is no lie. And I offer you this morning the one who could stand before men and say, I and no other am the way. I and no other am the truth. I and no other am the life. And invite you to Him that you should no longer follow the lie of the devil, but that you should know the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. We pray our Father that God the Spirit might reveal to us the wiles of the evil one. We might be prepared to face the deception of the devil. That we might recognize his fruits in our lives. That we might live the truth to the glory of God. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.